I read it from a reputable green team site. This is from the CelticsBlog.com, right, Murray?
Correct.
Okay. Bobby Manning wrote this the other day, and it was just a survey of the players that came out of the third lottery position. Not the third pick, but the teams that started with the third lottery position and what happened. He said,
This is Cousin Anthony. Welcome to the Bobcast.
I'm going to bomb this shit.
So that's where I got it from, Dave, just by the way.
Happy Wednesday morning, it's the Bobcast. I'm here with Windows A, Isaiah Nins, a bunch of different names. No, what's your Twitter name? Noel
Corleone. It's just the Brazil face right now. It's a face of Brazilian flags.
Mm-hmm. So it's World Cup Day. How you feeling?
I'm still upset, obviously, because Brazil went home. Kind of disheartening, but it's kind of funny at the same time.
Are you not a big England guy?
I mean, I like a few of their players, but I have no affiliation towards England whatsoever.
You sure you don't have any English blood?
English blood, yeah. I mean, if you could see me right now, I look so English.
Yeah. Windows A is on the show. We're going to be talking to him every week. Tuesday is, it's Wednesday right now because, I don't know, what were there, rats in your house?
Cockroaches.
Wow, that's awful. I saw one cockroach in my dorm once and I couldn't sleep. That's how bad that. I can't deal with that stuff, man.
Oh no, I was just killing them off. I found two of them, and I was like, "You have
Are
to come
big?
Like now." No, they were small.
Yeah,
they were like a centimeter ish.
Could you have killed them if they were big?
Yeah, I've thought about it a lot of times. If I saw a rat, could I kill a rat? I really don't think so, but I'd have to see. If it was like there and there was people there, I'd probably like go and get a bat, and I'd be like, "All right, let me get this shit." But.
I couldn't do it, man. I don't know. It just, that's the one thing that really scares me. Oh my God. I can't deal with the insects. There was a huge bee in my room a couple weeks ago.
Are you serious?
I can't deal with it. No.
No, I'm definitely my mother's son. My mom has killed every insect she's ever come across. She's like world fly swatting champion.
So let me introduce the people to you because I'm trying to have some more friends on, some more people I think can bring some flavor to the show, and you got some spice. I think you can do it. First time I met you was in my apartment on South last year, South Campus at Syracuse. I don't think a lot of people listen to this go to Syracuse, but you came in the door. It was nighttime. I think I was either chilling or getting ready to go out, and you came in with a bottle and started acting like a maniac. And you said you were going to smash the bottle in the room, and you just started yelling all the stuff. I think you were yelling some political stuff that made me angry. And and the first time I ever met you, I thought I was going to hate you. Like, I don't hate many people, and there aren't many times where I feel like I need to get in the physical altercation, but that night drew me close. Do you remember that night?
I'm going to have to go ahead and say that night never occurred. That is strictly in Bobby's dream capacity, ladies and gentlemen.
You don't remember it?
No, I don't. I remember I smashed a bottle after
you
I left your house.
You smashed a bottle outside at the end of the night, but you you made me so mad that I ended up staying. Now I remember what happened. I was going to go out to the car. You were in the car, and I didn't go because you were there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you smashed
like
a bottle outside.
Thank God. I should have smashed it inside.
That would have been, then there would have been really, Obas would have came after you for sure. I wouldn't even have to do it.
Oh my God. That was a good time. That was a political, that's mad funny.
I don't remember what the political banter was, but what are you hoping to bring to the show? What's it going to be?
Probably some paprika. a little bit of red pepper, some cumin. I'll toss that in there and then I'll wrap it up with some adobo, and I think that'll be enough spice.
Is it cumin or cumin?
Huh? It's cumin.
Cumin? All right, cool.
No, I think I'm kind of the all-knowing power of sports and politics at the moment. I'm right up there with Skip Bayless and Jake Tapper. I'm like a mix of the two.
Yeah.
But, like, dark.
That's pretty accurate, I'll say. So let's talk about Ronaldo, because he's leaving Spain. I'm going to Spain, to Madrid, in a month and a half, and I was getting excited to see Ronaldo. I'm not a big soccer guy, so you're going to be able to help me along on that sense. But he's leaving for...
Juventus. Yes.
And they paid Real Madrid to take him on, and Real Madrid didn't want him anymore?
It was kind of more he held the cards. He was looking to move on because that team is kind of they're about to rebuild. So he was looking to move on, and they weren't going to, you know, spoil the move of a guy who just won them 4 Champions Leagues in a space of 6 years, I believe, with 3 back-to-back, you know, back-to-back-to-back just now. So it was definitely Ronaldo saying, I'm ready to move, but Real Madrid also saying, okay, we'll cash out on your move as well. So
I'm trying to understand roster moves when it comes to soccer. They didn't get any players, just money?
Yeah. Like, trades almost never happen. And so there are so few trades in history for players, but it's usually player for money is the capacity that – like players move on from team to team.
Is Real Madrid going to be happy with that? If I was a fan of that team right now and they got how much money?
I think it was 112. I don't know if that was euros. I believe it was 112 euros.
All right, we'll throw that in the calculator in a second. But I don't know. I wouldn't be satisfied. Are Real Madrid fans satisfied right now?
Real Madrid fans are never satisfied with anything. Unless they win every title, they're never satisfied. Okay. It has just outrageous success. That would be, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester United, Chelsea. If they're not winning something every year, they're mad. So Real Madrid fans, no matter what, they were going to be upset. But I feel like they respect him enough to be like, all right, he's gone. Let's look to our new superpower. And I'm sure it's coming in the next few years.
No, they got the money to do it now. They're going to have to take on some poorer team. Who are the richest teams in the game?
Barcelona, Real Madrid, Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Juventus, Bayern Munich. I'd say those are some of the top names.
Is there anything for me to look forward to at Real Madrid now?
Oh, I hate Real Madrid, and I also cannot stand Cristiano Ronaldo. So what I'm looking forward to is at least 2 years without a trophy. That would bring my heart so much joy. If Isco could not deliver something to them, I feel like Gareth Bale's coming out soon. From Real Madrid. I don't know where he's going, but I feel like he's gone as well. He was pretty cryptic alongside Cristiano Ronaldo after they won Champions League, alluding to him leaving. So it would just do me so much joy if they went unsuccessful for at least a season.
Oh, man. So when I'm getting there August 26th. Are they going to be playing? When do I have to wait to see them?
Yeah, no, they're going to be playing at that point.
Is everybody off right now because of the World Cup, or do they just go on without the stars?
No, they go on. Like, teams will play the friendlies without their whoever's still at the World Cup.
So they're just still continue. They're just playing, like, exhibition matches right now.
Yeah.
All right. So Ronaldo's going to Juventus. How are they looking now?
Juventus has been on the fringe for a couple seasons. I think about, like, 4 seasons now from getting to the Champions League final. Or from getting the Champions League title. They've either been in the final or in the semis for, I think, since 2014-15. And they had the chance twice, 2014-15 versus Barcelona. They lost that 3-1. And then the season before last, this one, they were against Real Madrid. They lost that, I think, 4-1. And Ronaldo showed up big in that game. So now I feel like the tide has turned, and they might be a favorite to at least make it to the Champions League final. I think he pushes them over the edge. Obviously, they're going to win the league again, I think, for the 7th time in a row, the Scudetto. But that's not what they're looking for. They brought in Ronaldo to push them over the edge to the Champions League title.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited for that. I'm glad we have a soccer person on the show now. I needed this. I needed my fix. You think? So let's see. What am I going to ask next? All right, so I saw Ryan post that the MLS All-Stars are playing Juventus. And
Ryan who? 6'6"?
Yep, your man.
Okay.
So they're playing them in Atlanta in August, I think, and that's the All-Star game. Juventus versus all the All-Stars of the MLS. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Fair. Is that what the, so the MLS always brings together all their best players and plays one of the biggest teams in Europe?
Yeah.
That's how they do it?
Yeah.
All right. I love that. I would some other league needs to try to find an equivalent for that, because is it actually a good product?
No.
Ah.
it's horrible. And I don't watch the MLS at all. I don't tune in any games, but I did watch the MLS All-Star game. It was maybe two or three seasons back when they played Bayern Munich, and I remember towards the end, for some reason, it got very chippy, and it turned into Bayern Munich walking off the field. They literally, before the game was over, they left. So I don't know that it does too much good except sales for the MLS. I think it makes the MLS look smaller if they're like, all right, here's all of our best players versus one team, and it's, like, competitive. Like, and the other team is, like, it's, like, a friendly to them. And MLS is going all out. So I don't think it does good. I think it would be better if MLS said, all right, here's one team, here's our champions, we'll play the best team or whatever it is.
The MLS is bigger on the West Coast, I feel like. Man, it gets killed here in New England. We had that one stretch with Jermaine Jones. We talked about this the other day, where it was like it was a new world for us when he came, and he was definitely past his prime. I think people were still feeling pretty good about that USA run he had, and I think it lasted like a year, and that was it, and he was out of there.
Yeah, he was like 33 or 34 when he hit the revolution. That was some absurd shit for them to be like, Jermaine Jones.
Is that the problem? Does everyone just go to MLS past their prime, and that's what
brought
the league down?
It's money. That's all it is. It's just a cash out. That's why Rooney's coming to Chicago if he hasn't signed already. I'm pretty sure he's going to D.C. No. He's either going to Chicago Fire or D.C. United. I can't remember which one. But it's just a cash out.
Hey, we need someone new here in New England to bring the crowds. I only know one person who's a Revolution fan, and that's Rocco, who's been on the show before. And I don't even think he's too attached to them anymore. All right, that's soccer. That's your soccer minute. You want to talk about Supreme Court, right?
Sure.
Some guy named Brett's going to the Supreme Court.
Brett Kavanaugh, yes.
They're going to try to stop him, but I don't know how they're going to do it without the senators. They can't stop it like they did to Obama. So
yeah, Merrick Garland's.
So pick. This Brett guy's going. Is it the end of the world?
To me, I think it's just another extreme case of polarization. Because Brett Kavanaugh, and looking him up, he's definitely not. I would never choose a Brett Kavanaugh or an Amy Barrett, who was another choice. Thomas Hardiman. I would have never chosen one of them. But looking at him. I've read a couple articles now of him being described as a guy who's going to just completely reverse Roe versus Wade. And he's certainly against Roe versus Wade, and he's dissented against abortion rights in cases. But he's also recognized that Roe versus Wade has precedent, and he would go with whatever the court believed was, like, the correct decision.
That's so what he said, right? Yeah.
Does that maybe that alludes to him repealing Roe versus Wade? But to me, it says the opposite. I feel like it's just whoever Trump said was going to be the pick was going to have a backlash. It didn't matter who it was. So I can't tell if it's they believe that Brett Kavanaugh is an untrustworthy guy, or he's anti-women's rights, or if they're just against him because he's a Republican. And I'm not a Republican, but I find myself in the middle. So looking at him, I'm like, okay, if you didn't like Brett Kavanaugh, who's a Republican choice that you would choose? And I feel like that conversation would never occur. They would just, they, as in, like, mostly liberals would just say, nope, that conversation doesn't matter. We just don't want him. So if it's not him, it would have been Amy Barrett, who I think they said the dogma lives strong within her because of her Catholic affiliation. It wasn't her. It would have been Thomas Hardiman. So it to me, I think he's not going to be great, but it's not the end, to me, of abortion rights, women's reproductive rights.
Trump loved this, and we knew he loved this because he did it once before, and he talked about again and again, like, how this was the most sacred thing a president could do.
Yeah.
He's so excited to do this, and I'm just, we know how unprepared he is for politics. We know how, like, inept he is at some of the nuances of all this, but when it comes to just selecting a person to do a job, of course he can hype this up as the most important thing, the best thing he can do. Every time he's listed as accomplishment, the first thing he did, says is, hey, pick the Supreme Court judge. Yeah. Any of us could do it. All we have to do is just pick a person, and they go through. And he had 125 names on his website that I guess some, like, interest group or whatever picked for him. So he has 125 names handpicked. He sets up this big announcement time to bring this guy out named Brett. It was was right up his alley because it's the easiest thing as president that you can do.
It's kind of funny to hear him say, like, make that his number one accomplishment, like choosing a judge. It's like it's like if I put that on my resume, like what candy I chose at, like, Dylan's candy bar. I think it's extreme the way that it's been perceived in the media for the last couple of days, but I also believe it'll tone down. I think just like Gorsuch is a Republican, and he did, like, absolutely swing the vote over, and that's what Mitch McConnell can't stand him. Mitch McConnell was so proud of that it would swing over, but it's not like Neil Gorsuch was this, like, awful, horrendous guy. He's just a Republican who has these views. Same thing I feel with Brett Kavanaugh. He has a little bit more Republican views than Gorsuch. He's not like this horrendous man. He's just a guy who's a Republican. So he doesn't like the Affordable Care Act. He's not a fan of abortion. He's not pro environmental safety, which I'm against. I'm pro environmental safety, but I recognize, like, he's not this demon because he doesn't. I think it's just real polarization that goes on right now.
It's interesting. The court is one of the places that I feel like, you know, obviously it has become more polarized, but I do think you get surprises sometimes where some guy that ends up there that you think is going to go one way will go a different way on a case. And they more than ever now, it seems like, try to hide what their beliefs are. They get grilled before Congress. They get grilled in all these places, but they won't reveal it. And then all of a sudden you end up with a guy like Kennedy, who I think was a Reagan guy. Right?
Yeah,
and he ultimately ended up being more down the middle, or, you know, sided on the left with some social issues, which really swung the court in more of a left direction back when he was going. But you never know. And I think that's one of the good things about it, is that these people, for the most part, do try to be more fair and balanced than other aspects of politics. We'll see. I don't know too much about this guy.
Besides, I just know besides Scalia and Clarence Thomas. Besides those.
We don't talk enough about the fact that Clarence Thomas should not be on the Supreme Court.
that Anita case is so ludicrous. Do you know about the case?
Which one was that?
Where he was, like, sexually harassing Anita.
Oh, yeah. That was when he was going in.
And a guy who's so anti social justice, a guy who's so anti, you know, recognizing black versus white, made sure to make it out that the media was attacking him because he was black at the time, not because there was alleged sexual harassment. So I can never support Clarence Thomas. If I saw him and he reached his hand out, I probably would smack it away. I wouldn't just walk away. I would be like, don't ever think of touching me, Clarence Thomas.
And people bring this up again and again, but he doesn't talk on the court. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't provide insight. He just sits there.
No. I hate Clarence Thomas so much. But I don't think Brett Kavanaugh is going to be Clarence Thomas. He's just not going to be a guy for the issues that we want.
It's interesting that they gave the Supreme Court people life terms. You know, they're so you know, all into having the term limits in Congress. And the Founding Fathers didn't originally put a presidency term limit, but they de facto did through Washington. But they were like, all right, these judges, maybe the most important position in the country, they're there for life. It's up to them when they're leaving, when they're doing it. And, you know, they say Kennedy might have had some influence on who Trump picked. Because maybe, you know, I'm not going to retire if it's not this guy. I might if it's this guy. They had some of those conversations, according to one source.
Well, you know, he clerked for Kennedy.
Yeah.
Kavanaugh. He clerked for him out of law school. So that makes sense to me that they would have an affiliation like that. But it's not like he's an unqualified judge. He's not.
Yeah, like it wasn't Judge Judy.
Yeah. Hey, Judge Judy's qualified. I wouldn't put her on the Supreme Court, but she's a judge. I'm saying it's not like who's the head of education?
Oh, Ben Carson. No.
He's HUD.
That's HUD, and I know the lady's name.
Betsy DeVos.
Yep.
That's Betsy DeVos, whose father and brother, I believe, were just incredible contributors to the Republican campaigns, like Lifetime.
And then
which is how she got her name.
And then Scott Pruitt just buying stuff left and right, getting a Chick-fil-A and, you know, whatever else he wants. Rugs. I think Ben Carson was the one buying rugs with government money, but who cares?
Nah, he got a dinner set, dinner table set. I think it was $15,000.
The whole cabinet's just been buying stuff for themselves, and we keep reading him online, but who cares?
And you know, Ben Carson was one of my heroes as a kid.
Oh, great.
But I had both of his books on my shelf, and as soon as he launched in 2016 his bid as a Republican, I told my mom, I was like, "Mom, this guy's going downhill. Like it's over."
You were an OG Ben Carson fan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like an individual. I'm sure a ton of black boys and girls grew up reading his books. And we're like, wow, this is an amazing man. And then saw him on that stage, and we're like, Jesus Christ. They tell LeBron, shut up and dribble. He needs to, like, shut up and get the scalpel. Like, there's no reason for him to be head of housing and urban development. Like,
there's so much NBA stuff on the table. I know you want to get to that. Which one is really piquing your fancy going into this season? What's your favorite storyline going into this season? That's what I'll ask.
Which McDonald's is Melo going to work at come October?
It's so sad, isn't it? Are you a Melo fan?
It's kind of crazy. As a Syracuse student, I am the most anti-Melo person on the planet.
I don't know, man. We had our boats, Celtics and Knicks. It was very easy to hate Melo during that era.
So Melo, oh, man, that's going to be crazy. Whatever Chick-fil-A he's the, like, manager at.
Him and Scott Pruitt.
Maybe in the downtown Houston area, I heard. He's getting some looks from Wendy's in the downtown Houston area. I really can't stand I'm on Twitter every day, all day. And I can't stand people on Laker Twitter who are like, man, this would be great to see Melo get the minimum. Melo is not taking the minimum, and he's not helping out that team. That's like the same people who are like, and my dad's in this. My dad was like, man, I think Kobe should come out of retirement and play with LeBron. No, he shouldn't. I don't think... I think people forgot what Kobe looked like for the last 2 years, minus the 60-point game. He was atrocious.
People get these images, they get the names, and the name lasts forever. So Carmelo Anthony, to a lot of people, is still the Syracuse guy, still the Nuggets guy, even the Knicks guy, because the name never dies in that sport. That's why Josh Smith ends up with the extra deals, Joe Johnson's still rolling, Rudy Gay's making the big bucks, because those are names, and they're not Melo names, but Melo's name is going to last forever.
Well, Rudy Gay, I don't think they knew he was going to drop off the face of the earth when they signed him. He wasn't, like, putting up the numbers he is now immediately before he signed for the Spurs. But
well, the
obviously
Grizzlies,
now we can see.
The Grizzlies got better when he left. The Raptors got better when he left. Even the Kings, I think, are going in a better direction.
I think the Kings have been, like, the worst team in the league for, like, over a decade.
Forget
I don't
the
know
Kings, if, but those yeah, Spurs like, count.
I don't think the Kings have seen the playoffs since 2006. I think it's 2006.
I'm really excited about Harry Giles, who's just starting to play for them, though. That was a great risk by a team that needs to take a risk.
I got to wait. I don't even watch Summer League games because I don't like to – that's literally just jacking myself off if I watch a Summer League game to watch, like, Josh Hart put up big numbers, some shit like that. I see Knicks fans talking about Kevin Knox every day. They're like, Rookie of the Year already off some Summer League games. It's gonna be the Gary Payton factor. When Gary Payton played the Bulls and he was eyeing down Michael Jordan and he put up numbers and he was talking shit, and then come regular season, Michael Jordan flamed him. That's what it's going to look like.
I'm excited to see the Drew Hanlon guys. Do you know who Drew Hanlon is?
I don't. Who's that?
So he's a trainer who's been working with so many players, and more to keep coming to them every day. I think Jason Tatum, Bradley Beal, those were two of his early guys because they're all from St. Louis and that's where he's from. And he was a lower level college player about 10 years ago. I think he scored like 9 points a game or whatever with the college team he was playing with. But he started working out players back then and bringing up his little training business. So now Joel Embiid's working with him.
Oh, is that group of like Joel Embiid, Mo Bamba?
Yep, all those guys.
I've seen their videos.
Yeah, the videos are the best part. So Tatum and Embiid were just going one-on-one. He's trying to fix Markelle Fultz's shot. That's the guy being pressed with that now. And I'm excited because more and more players start going with him. We saw what Tatum did last year, and Bede was Defensive Player of the Year right up there. Like it just works for these guys who are working out with him. And I want to see more magic. I want to see more Tatum magic from the guys like Kelly Oubre who are trying to get on with him.
Kelly Oubre?
Yep.
That's a little lower than Jason Tatum, but...
Yeah, he could help, though. I'm excited. The Wizards are going to be a fun team, aren't they, with Dwight and Wall and Beal and the whole mess that was there last year as an 8 seed?
If by fun you mean have no leadership and potentially make, like, the 8 seed in the playoffs in the weakest East, yeah, I think so.
You know, I love that because people were saying again and again 2 years ago they were better than the Celtics, they were going to come away with that series. People still say they should have won that series, but they got bodied on the road every time that year. They were one of the worst road teams ever to be considered a good team. And then last year, they just fell off the face of the earth as they were just fighting with each other all year. And Scott Brooks, their coach, awful.
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of funny, the fraternity of coaches in any professional sport. Coaches always stick up for coaches. So that's the only way that Scott Brooks could potentially have left OKC the way he did and then join immediately another team. Ludicrous.
Yeah, that's annoying too. There's no outside the box coaching hires in the NBA. It's just a spin cycle, and that's how Dwayne Casey ends up a coach of the Pistons after we saw what he did for the Raptors. So now he's going to have to build the Pistons all the way up to where the Raptors were, which isn't going to happen. And that's their ceiling, being the one seed and losing round two.
Well, but he doesn't have the LeBron factor anymore.
Yeah, but now he has to play with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond as his two main pieces and hope to get some production from Reggie Jackson. It's a much worse situation.
Did you see the Pistons got worse after adding Blake Griffin?
Oh, yeah.
They lost considerably more games. I think it was like 10 games down from where they were.
His field goal percentage was in the 30s with that team.
Yeah, that is hilarious. I think it's funny that the only person to come out of that Clippers team still working it is JJ Redick a little bit and also Chris Paul. Everybody else is just flown off the earth.
Yeah. No, what about DeAndre Jordan? I still like the looks of him.
I like numbers, like from a stat sheet. I didn't watch a ton of games, so I can't really comment on it. His numbers look still decent, but I don't know how that worked out on the team. I didn't watch the games.
Well, it was just him, so there you go. Him and Austin Rivers holding it down out there. Patrick Beverley got hurt.
Austin Rivers. How is that not illegal? Can you explain to me how that's not illegal for his dad to coach him? Like, how there's no clause that says, like, oh, yeah, you can't just have your son on this team.
Well, they traded him. Then Mikal Bridges, whose mom was on the 76ers, drafted him, and then they traded him. So
that was hilarious. Because I wasn't watching the draft live, so I was seeing how she was going in on how, like, it was the hometown and, like, they really wanted this, and then they trade him.
Dumbest thing about the draft, I think I've talked about that before on here, but they give the guys the wrong hats after they get traded. They have to talk to the media about the teams they're not going to. They really butcher the TV product. And then they try to have the guys stop tweeting about the picks, but they did it anyway. The reporters.
That's some comedy right there. I think my final NBA point is that the Lakers.
We didn't even get into the Lakers.
Bobby, over the last couple of months, I've argued LeBron for maybe a full day's length, like maybe a full 24 hours over the last 3 months. I've argued LeBron James. So it's kind of hard for me to keep talking about him. But as a Lakers fan, I got to talk about him at least if I'm not arguing. And I correctly predicted this season, because I'm a guru, that the Lakers would move up to 35 from 26. I think with LeBron and these, I guess you could call them pieces, JaVale and Lance and Rondo. I like Rondo. I think they move up to 10 or 12 more wins. So between 45 and 47, which is literally the number at the 8 seed last year. So I think they make the playoffs, and I don't think they have to do a single thing if they make the playoffs. I think just getting into the playoffs this season will say enough for LeBron, and then they cut those one-year deals, Lance and JaVale, maybe keep Rondo depending on how he plays, and they add a Kawhi, or they add, you know, potentially, people keep talking about it, a Kyrie if he doesn't do this Jimmy Butler thing. Like, they rebuild fully, and then that season, they really go as contenders. But Magic already delivered on his piece when he was like, next two seasons, I'm going to bring a star. He got LeBron James. So he's already kicking his feet up on the – he's kicking his heels up on the table right now.
Him and LeBron had a three-hour dinner, and I need to see that because you listen to Magic Johnson talk. One of the greatest basketball players of all time, but when he talks, he doesn't do himself any favors.
It's so charismatic to not make any sense.
I don't know what he said to LeBron for 3 hours, but fortunately it seems like James' decision was made and he didn't need any convincing. It is just cringeworthy after his big speech about needing a high IQ players and guys who can think and feel the game out that he's about to be paired up with Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee.
Oh my God! When I saw Lance's name, that day was crazy. Like Woj's Twitter was crazy that day, and when I saw JaVale, I was like, "What?" And then I saw Lance, and I was like, "What?" And then the next day, I saw Rondo, and I was like, "What?"
I'll let Rondo off the hook because I know he can feel the game out, and he's a sensational basketball mind.
He's a smart player, and luckily he was a leader last year. But before that, I was not looking to Rondo for leadership on any team. My favorite Rondo memory is when he and DeMarcus Cousins were clapping the ref up after a bad call, and DeMarcus got thrown out of the game.
DeMarcus almost ended up there, too. Everyone thought he was going to. That would have been a show. You would have
had I heard they didn't even make a bid. They were too focused on LeBron. But I think he lied. Didn't he say he got no offers? I'm pretty sure he got 2 years, 40 from Pelicans.
There's a lot of conflicting reports out there during the offseason, so he's got a little bit of both.
As I was telling my friends about it, because I was like, I have his notifications on Woj. As I was telling my friends about it, and I saw whatever Mark Spears, I think it is, on ESPN say, like, he talked to DeMarcus, and DeMarcus said he got no offers. My friends were like, really? Zero teams in the league offered the best center $5 million? Like, they couldn't offer him $5 million? So I was like, I think that was just a way to, like, paraphrasing from them, a way to avoid criticism for joining the Warriors.
Honestly, has a motive.
I don't have real problems with him going to the Warriors. Like, he was supposed to stay with the Pelicans again and lose in the semifinals again. Like, he could have gone anywhere. I really don't feel like that's the easy way out, quote unquote. Like, now you just can't win a ring. He goes anywhere else, and you're like, damn, DeMarcus Cousins never gets a ring. DeMarcus Cousins goes and chases a ring from the Pelicans, formerly the Kings, and it's like he's taking the easy way out, the cupcake route. I don't see it as that. I see it as a guy who's like, damn, I can win a title and then cash the fuck out next season.
Yeah, that's it. And I don't think any player's going to care about some guy online who says it doesn't count, which is basically all they're facing.
There's one guy who cares online.
Yeah, there is.
Do you know whose name that is? Yeah. There's one guy who cares. That's Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant cares about everyone who's saying something online. He said something yesterday. He was sliding in the DMs of some high school guy. It was literally like a 17-year-old guy. And he was like, let me see what he said. He was like, you think I'm too big and famous to be a black man at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday scrolling through Instagram? Yeah, I do. Hey, dude, what are you doing? And he was like, the guy was like, hey, I respect your achievement as a player, but you just don't have the leadership qualities as Steph or LeBron, which Steph is, I doubt he's the leader in the playoffs, as we've seen the last couple of seasons, but I guess not as LeBron.
The funniest thing about the Durant stuff is he's not conversing with the online people who are like, Durant, you had a +2 war and this and that and throwing the numbers at him. He's talking to the guys who are like, man, who's the best? Kobe? Is it LeBron? The barbershop talk.
Someone's like, man, Kevin Durant fell off, and he's like, what? Like, he left the burner accounts at home. That's the crazy part. This was his real account. He literally tweeted the guy in his DMs. I was like, oh my God. Like, he's literally going off on some, like, guy doing his, like, AP calc work. Took a break from summer school to write to Kevin. He tagged him in the post. He didn't, like, write at him. He tagged him in the post. And Kevin Durant literally went to the post. Like, I think that's I need to, like, start tweeting Kevin Durant, like, dude, you're a fucking bum.
There's a bar, there's a bar for a player you can get in touch with. It probably starts off somewhere around, like, I don't know, Richard Jefferson or something. Like, that's like, the level of a guy you can't get in touch with because he's just that much above everybody else. But then you can skip all the way over every single player and get to the top to Durant, and you can find him in the DMs.
Like, you would never...
It's crazy.
You would never in your life get a response from LeBron James, but you can get one from Kevin Durant. Like, that's outrageous. that's so outrageous to me. Richard Jefferson. That's funny. I might hit up Rodney Covington one day and be like, I will wash you in a three-point contest and see what he says.
As you know, we talk to Windows A on Tuesdays now on the Bobcast throughout the summer. He's got his sunglasses, his UV protection going in the clubhouse out in Syracuse. I'm here in Boston. We're talking World Cup because France is the champion.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
I do. I didn't like it as much as I would have liked Brazil, but France. My favorite player is Pogba in the world, so seeing that, I was like, I'm glad at least he won. I think the World Cup shows that that France team is going to be nice in the upcoming years.
Yeah, they're wicked young. One of the goal scorers was 19, which was I saw was the youngest goal scorer since Pele.
Kylian Mbappe, yep.
Did they get the best competition? Because I saw the way Croatia played out there. I love the guy gunning his ass off all the way to the goalie on the other side while he's trying to kick it out there and getting that goal to bring it a 4-2. But besides that, they didn't impress me at all. I thought they were lackadaisical, yeah.
I thought Croatia was the best team left. I don't think England would have been. I think England would have been even worse. I think this France side is just that good that they make it seem like that. But Croatia, they were star-studded this World Cup, and they played like it. Mandzukic, Rakitic, Modric, Perisic, they all came out to play.
Who had that goal running all the way from about, like, halfway all the way to the goal, getting the ball? I don't know why the goalkeeper for France was playing it on the ground as he was coming storming in, but that was just awesome. Down 4-1. Oh, that was awesome. I wish they could have pulled off a better comeback after that play because that's, you know, a lot of teams, I know it's the World Cup Finals, so you're going to be gunning for it, but down 4-1, you know, probably like the 60th minute or so, you probably don't have much of a chance at that point, but this guy's going like 100-meter dash all the way to the goal. I love that. That was my favorite moment of the game, even though they lost.
Really? I liked Pogba's goal the most, obviously, but it just looked like vindication. It just looked like we deserve it and we're taking it. Like, that's what it felt like to me. But Croatia was, they were star-studded. It's just, they didn't have all the firepower that France did to win it off.
There was a controversial replay during the game, too. What do you think of replay in soccer? Because they brought that all the way back to try to get the handball there, and then they ended up confirming it.
Yeah, it was on Perisic, and it was a handball. I don't know how I feel about VAR, video-assisted referee. I really wanted it in the beginning, but before it was introduced, and now that it's introduced, I kind of don't like it because I feel like soccer players are already very ready to just call anything. So, like, even if there wasn't VAR, they would have all put their hands up and ran to the ref. But now that there's VAR, it seems like they have a little bit, extra to get to the ref. So now that there's VAR, there's a handball, everyone runs, they stop the play completely and wait for the ref to say, all right, let me get confirmation. Like, it seems like it just is an extra way out for players to just waste time.
A lot of the arguments I've heard is that this is the game that doesn't stop. The clock keeps going. It's nonstop action. And they're actually pausing the game for this, aren't they?
The clock doesn't stop, but yeah, players are off to the sideline. They're getting water. They're discussing with the coach. Like, it's a lot of time taken off to go to the ref, probably like 45 seconds, a minute. Like, that's a long time to just be discussing whether or not, you know, it's a penalty or not.
And that's tricky, too, because the clock's still running, like you said. I wouldn't like losing about a minute, especially if I was down to a replay. That would drive me crazy, even if the replay was benefiting my team.
One of my friends, I have a group of, we just discuss football. And one of the Americans, my friend Connor, said, there's no reason for there not to be clock stoppage when there's fouls and extra time or late in the game. There's no reason. And a Chilean friend of mine was like, no, that would completely change the game. That's not what the game is about. The game needs to – if you talk to fans that aren't Americans, they're all saying, nope, we still want, you know, the way it's been. So what if it's, like, not the most efficient? That's the way, like, the game is played. That's the way it is. So I think it's annoying, but – you know, traditional fans are going to say, nope, that's the way it is.
Well, at the very least, the game didn't come down to penalty kicks, which I think would probably be the worst way to end a World Cup, to have it in that sense. So even though one penalty kick ended up being a huge difference for France, two great goals capped it off. So there's no doubt about who the winner is, who the best team was, and that's that. I know you want to talk about Russia, which is where the World Cup was played, and there was a very...
I didn't even have it thought out, but since you brought it up...
We knew a presidential trip to Russia or Finland for a neutral site was going to be something to behold, and I think it exceeded anyone's expectations of lunacy.
I'm sure I've said it, but I follow a wide range of people on Twitter. I follow very conservative. I follow very
fair and balanced.
Moderate, very liberal, and it was great for me to see the conservatives, so many of them saying, this is ridiculous. Like, there's no reason Trump should be doing. Like, the people with MAGA in their bios were like, we should not be meeting with the opponents. It was only the staunchest of fans that were like, MAGA fans that were like, no, like, it's good to have relations with Putin, blah, 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 blah. But when Obama tried to do any of that, they were like, wow, traitor. How dare he even speak to, you know, people that we disagree with. So
the most frustrating thing for me in all of this is the like childlike, oh no, it was you. Like at every turn when there's any criticism thrown that way, he goes, oh, it was the Democrat. Especially in situations like this where there's no like Republican Democrat divide here, there's no other side to this when it comes to the collusion case, when he's like, no, Clinton colluded, no, the Democrat colluded. It's like, I know I am, what are you, or whatever that is. It really blows my mind where we're just beyond reality when it comes to the dialogue here. There's no facts. It's just whatever he wants to say, whatever suits him best at any given moment is what's going to fly by him. But I still don't think we have an idea of why there's an obsessive nature within him to side with Russia over everything while he's ripping allies.
I mean, well, he doesn't really care about allies. This just goes back to my thought that Trump, I think, is definitely winning 2020. I think absolutely. And it's just because he does what he wants and his fans stick by him no matter what. Like his presidency and his interaction with fans, the one that most defines his presidency would be when he said, I could shoot someone on Fifth Ave and you guys would still be my fans.
And
the
New York Post today had him on a cartoon of him on Fifth Avenue with Putin by his side with a gun shooting Uncle Sam. Which was a pretty good mix of those two scenarios that you just brought up right there.
I didn't get to watch last night, but I'm sure I'm probably gonna watch it soon. I didn't get to watch Hannity and Trump just because I hate Hannity, but I think I'll check it out. I know it's just gonna be quality stuff from the great president, great 44th president of the United States. Just more lunacy, more idiocy coming out of this man.
So, as you said, a lot of Republicans were speaking up and calling it the most disgraceful performance. I know John McCain put out something scathing on the president, and
yeah,
John McCain still the best moment of the Trump presidency when he came out on the Senate floor with the thumbs down. Just that was hilarious. The only moment that brought a smile to my face during these past 2 years. But anyway, scathing remarks from Republicans across the board. Paul Ryan, of course, had the most melodramatic one, just saying that there was collusion. Nice. But is there going to be any action here? I don't think there's going to be any action until the Mueller investigation comes through. But at this point, it seems like a lot of people are upset. There's a lot of words being thrown around, but no action, as we've seen.
No. I honestly, truly believe that this is just going to be a goose chase. Unless he does get elected, which I think he will in 2020, if he doesn't get elected, this collusion thing is going to just go on until the next president is sworn in. I just don't see a near conclusion for this to happen. It just seems like it goes on and goes on and goes on, and they try and piece little things together. And I feel like there's just way more thought about it than there is physical evidence to go off of for the collusion trial. So it just seems lengthy and it drags out. This has been going on for what? Since he's been elected? Even before that, when people were talking about the bots that were going on and he would speak out against it before he got elected. It just seems like it's never going to end.
Yeah, and it came out just before he was president, if we remember. The fact that Russia was going to be interfering with the election, they had intelligence reports about it going into the election. And, you know, sanctions were thrown around back then, but I still feel like the general vibe was that he couldn't win the election. I'm sure there's some second guesses on the side of the last administration and how they handled things. I know it was the last few months and, you know, what are you going to do as the transition's happening? But given the results, I think some people would have done things differently back then.
You know, 2020 vision in hindsight.
Mm-hmm. We need some IST people out there on the front lines. Come on. Syracuse's finest got to get in on this war.
Oh, it's coming.
All right, what was next up on the docket, Zay?
I would say LeSean McCoy. This should be quick, man. LeSean McCoy, and I think it's his girlfriend, or is it his wife?
It was his girlfriend, I believe.
His girlfriend, Delisha Corden, I think it is. She posted some photos of her, like, very, very beaten up. I just feel like it's not a summer unless there's at least one high-profile domestic violence case with an NFL player. The NFL is like the most dangerous league, I would say, for summer interactions between players and their personal lives.
Well, it's the most dangerous league for fall interaction too, if we're being honest, on the field too.
Seriously.
When it comes to this story, I mean, the photo was vicious. It was a very in-your-face image. And he came right out within about an hour or two denying it and saying it was completely bogus and this and that. I don't know, you know, I know what you do from our perspective, you know, you just wait and see. But the league really just can't win right now when it comes to their image. They still have the flag dispute going on. And in the backdrop, you have all these cases of domestic violence and, you know, just how players seem to be getting impacted off the field by what's going on with them on the field. You wonder what, you know, LeSean McCoy's mindset is if he did indeed do this and how that's impacted by football, because I think you still have to draw a relation between some of these off-the-field issues that the league's had and what's going on to these players on the field.
With a CTE and suicide going on. Yeah.
So you do wonder, you know, obviously it doesn't excuse it completely, but is there something on the field that's impacting what these players are doing off the field, the aggressiveness, the anger, maybe even some of the medications that they have these players on? There does seem to be some correlation with this league versus other leagues when it comes to that off-the-field conduct, when it comes to violence in particular.
It could be due to the impact that's going on with their head-to-head collisions and the resulting CTE that follows. It could be the medications that they get put on, all the painkillers, just to go out onto the field that they get cleared with. But whatever it is, I hope that it's solved soon, because seeing these domestic violence cases, like, it's pitiful to see this. And the league doesn't know if they want to be too lenient. They don't know if they want to be too hard on it. Sometimes they go after the wrong cases and try just to make a name, but that doesn't seem to affect anything in the long run. So it's never good when you have to go to the notes page and put up the image like LeSean did. You want to say, wait for the facts, but oh my God, those images are some facts all by itself. We got to just wait and see what comes about of this.
Well, yeah, he did go to the notes page very quickly, so he put a lot of dedication in that response. That's where you go when you're filling out some official documents, the notes page.
Yeah, on the iPhone, like you're not even typing it up. You're literally on two thumbs
phone. If I pull out the notes page on my computer, it looks a little more like Word, but he couldn't get Word on that. Can you get Word on the iPhone? Because I think that would probably been a more representative defense.
I think you can get Microsoft Office. I feel like it was just not worth the trouble when he has notes already. Why even? he can italicize. He can underline. He can capitalize words. He doesn't have to do that.
He knows at his age that if there's any charges whatsoever, he's going to be gone out. He's in Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
So he's expecting there to be some tightening funds coming up. So he didn't want to drop the $100 on Microsoft Word. He was very proactive in that sense.
Well, he's about to get a contract. And,
not anymore.
Absolutely not anymore. But he was ready to collect some money, and it seems like now that paycheck might not coming in.
All right,
We
got a few minutes. Let's hit on one more topic. What do you got for us?
I think it would be most appropriate to get your opinion on Terrell Owens and the way that the Pro Football Hall of Fame just really left him out of all discussion. What are your thoughts on that?
So when I the latest thing I heard on T.O., so he's going into the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
And he's not showing up to Canton for the festivities. He's not doing a speech.
No. He's not doing anything.
That just really further obscures T.O.'s legacy, because you know this guy is one of the most prolific receivers of all time, but he played in so many uniforms. He's sort of like the Shaq of the NFL, I would say. He just got thrown around so many situations. He was a game changer at his position, but there was just so much turmoil with him and, you know, arguments with teammates and everything else that just seemed to obscure his legacy. Shaq made a speech at the Hall of Fame, but now you're not even going to have, like, this grand exit for T.O. I don't know why he's doing it. It's definitely a decision that I think could leave him with some regret.
You know why he's doing it. It's Terrell Owens. And I'm a guy who loves, you know, all the flamboyance, all the craziness that goes on, especially regarding, like, the old NFL of about a decade ago. Terrell Owens, Chad Ochocinco, all the antics that they provided. Most notably the one when he's doing the workout in the in his driveway.
The reputation of the No Fun League.
Yeah. And so I just feel like he's, like, 40-something now. He's, like, 44. And it's time to be a man, like Terrell. Like, you had your time being wild. Like, be a man. Like, just because you didn't make it your first year is not any cause for you to just throw a tantrum and say, I'm not even going to show up. When, you know, numerous players that were, like, great players had to wait years and years to get into it. I just feel like it's childish. And it's not anything we don't expect from Terrell Owens, but I just feel like everyone expected him to move on now that he got the gratification, now that he got the recognition as, you know, he really is like the second best wide receiver of all time, right behind Jerry Rice. And he finally got it. There's no reason for him to not show up, give a speech. I think Chris Carter is the one who said, this is your time to show your gratitude for those who helped you get there. It's not about you, really. It's about everything that culminated to help you get to this point. And I feel like he's just skipping that out in favor of himself. And it's just classic T.O.
His legacy's locked in now, isn't it? Because this is really the one moment where he could have tried to craft a changed image of his legacy with a great speech, with a great appearance there. He could have tried to turn things around, but instead he just played down all the stuff you just mentioned, and it really is just an affirmation. At 44, that really is unbelievable at that age that he's still making these kinds of decisions on his football career. And, you know, his legacy is his legacy. He can determine it how he chooses, but you know how people are going to receive this when you do something like that. That has to be unprecedented. I can't think of any other case where an athlete in any sport skipped on his Hall of Fame speech.
Literally, Hall of Fame. Like, you're being recognized on the highest platform. Now, maybe the highest, you know, sporting Hall of Fame that there is. I think it is. And a guy with, you know, almost 16,000 receiving yards, like 150-plus touchdowns, you're being honored as the great that you were, and you're just throwing it away. You're throwing it back in someone's face who are the people who are giving you the honor. I just feel like it's stupid. And like you said, I've never seen anything like it.
Who would have thought that in the end he's going to end up below the Ochocinco on the delinquency.
Literally, you know. Literally below Ochocinco with the
because
with
if Ochocinco is getting in, I don't know if Ochocinco is going to get in, but if he was, he would be there.
No, Ochocinco's not getting in. He's very funny and he's very active on Twitter, but I don't know that he's Hall of Fame worthy.
That's the Bobcast for this week, Zay. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, baby.